You would turn with me to Genesis chapter 30 and verse 25. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to take a leap of faith. Fortune favors the bold tonight. Amen. Praise God. You step out in faith and God always blesses. Praise the Lord. Genesis 30 and 25. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I may go unto my own place and to my country. Give me my wives, my children, for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience. Everybody say, learned by experience. That the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. Or he said, hey, tell me what you want, and I'll give it to you, whatever you ask. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me, for it was little which thou didst had before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude. And the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for my own house also? And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. For if thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come. When it shall come from my hire before thy face, every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me, or it will be yours and not mine. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-straked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he set a 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. What an interesting story. I want to speak to you tonight on a subject I've simply called the blessing. The blessing. Amen. I would rather my life be in the hands of God than in the greatest financier of the world. I would rather my finances set in the hands of the Lord. I would rather my future be in the hands of God than in the hands of the brightest minds in our world today. Amen. The blessing. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you to touch my mind and my heart, that you would quicken within me words that I have not thought of, the power of your words and anointing, Lord, that I have not conceived. Lord, I pray that you would speak more through me, Lord. Lord, that you would be in me more than the sum of my parts, oh God, that I could speak the words to your people, Lord, that we would receive such an enlightenment tonight, an understanding, a wisdom that only comes by your Spirit and through your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Put your Bibles down, your hands together, and let's magnify the Lord together. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This story is always interesting to me because Jacob, as we know, was a deceiver. He bartered for the birthright. He deceived for the blessing. But there was something in Jacob that God saw. There was some understanding that Jacob had, that he valued the right things. Even though he didn't always go about the right way getting them, God blessed Jacob because he valued the right things. He valued the birthright. He valued the blessing. Jacob had some innate understanding that there was something special about these things. And I really believe that it was beyond just a financial situation that he was comprehending, but there was something in him that desired the birthright and desired the blessing of his father, because there was some feeling in him that knew, that understood, that this blessing that was upon his family was not just because of his grandfather being some good businessman. It wasn't just just his ability to gather things or to make money or to be successful in this life. But Jacob, deep down, had an understanding that Abraham had a blessing that could only come from God. The Bible tells us in Genesis 12 and 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram," this was before he was Abraham, "get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Now we'll talk about this some more in a moment, but it always interests me to watch that the blessing of God, when it is on someone, that it's like a full cup of water that you just keep putting water in. It tends to splash out, because truly blessed people know how to bless others. Amen. Y'all awake tonight? I know it's not a normal Sunday night service, but here, I want to give you a principle tonight. Because there is an unstoppable blessing that if you will get connected into the principle of the Scripture, then not only will your life be blessed, but everywhere you go, every business that you walk in, every household that you become a part of, every job, every employer, every situation, that when you are blessed, if you have the overflowing of God's blessing in your life, it will also bless others. And it won't be long until they begin to see that whatever you touch begins to grow and flourish. Amen. I'm so thankful that when I see people and they get into some new employment, that it doesn't take long for God to begin to show people, hey, there's something different about this person. There's something different about them, that when they begin to touch things, they things happen. And also, they're not afraid to work. And they're not afraid to be people of integrity. They're not afraid of doing things right. And when they get in there, things begin to happen. And that's what was going on with Jacob. Because there was a blessing that flowed down from Abraham. In chapter 22 and 16, it says, "And by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hath not withheld thy son, thine only son," remember he offered Isaac, "that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies." That's a pretty good proclamation. "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Amen. So Abraham's blessing was flowing down. We see in Genesis 27 and 26, the Bible says that, of course, we know that Jacob went in. He pretended to be Esau. He put hair on his arms. He fixed the goat to taste like venison, and he took it in, and he deceived his father. Even though his father perceived something was wrong, he said, you sound like Jacob, but you smell like Esau. You sound like Esau. You sound like Jacob, but you feel like Esau, and he touched him. And so he deceived his father, and so his father blessed him. And in this passage of Scripture, it says, "And his father, Isaac, said unto him, Come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee." That's a pretty good blessing. "And nations bow down to thee." That's pretty good. "Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be that he that blesseth thee." And so this unstoppable blessing, we see that he, as he came out of the tent, the Bible even says that almost immediately as he left the tent, he met Esau, and Esau knew what was going on. He knew that he had lost the birthright with the porridge, and he had lost the blessing now that Isaac, that Jacob had stolen it from him, deceiving his father Isaac. And so he was wroth, and Jacob had to run for his life. And so he took his family, and he took them back to Laban's house. His father-in-law, he took him back there, and Laban was a kinsman at this time, not his father-in-law, but he met, of course, Rachel. He fell in love with Rachel, and we know the process. Laban was a deceiver. Let me just drop this in. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. And so this wonderful man, Laban, became the source of Jacob's retribution. Now notice that even though in the middle of his reaping, there was still blessing, because there is an unstoppable blessing. When God proclaims something, that there is very little that you can do about it. So here he was, even though he was in the middle of reaping what he had sown, because he deceived Esau. He deceived his father, and now his to-be father-in-law deceived him, right? He worked 7 years for Rachel, the one that he loved, and I don't know how it happened. I was listening to a sermon the other day by J.H. Osborne. What a powerful preacher. And he's like, some things just don't make sense, you know. He said, I've been married. I can't imagine marrying the wrong woman. I sure can't imagine marrying the wrong woman one night and not knowing until the next morning. So he said, I don't even know how that happens. But you know, you just got to take the word of God as real. I don't know. You know, maybe Jacob was just not real quick. I don't know. Maybe he was nearsighted or something. I don't know. Maybe he's half deaf, whatever it was. He didn't know until the next morning. He was angry because he woke up with Leah. And he wanted Rachel. And so he had to make a brand new deal. And so he's already worked 7 years. Can you imagine, young men, if you had to work 7 years for your to-be father-in-law just to marry? Hey, that's a good deal. Maybe we could work that out. Maybe we could, 7 years working for free. That's a good deal. Okay. We'll put that on the back burner for now. But can you imagine working 7 years and then getting the wrong one? Not only did you get the wrong one, the one you don't love, but the Bible says that she's tender-eyed. That's a nice way of the Bible saying she was ugly. So he has to work 7 more years for the one that he loves. And finally, he gets to marry Rachel. But all this time, there is a blessing that is flowing through his life. And all the deception and all the trouble that he had, there was kind of a transformation, right, in this point in his life. And it wouldn't be long until he would actually leave Laban's house and go back to try to reconcile with Esau. And that's where he would wrestle with the angel, and the angel would change his name from Jacob to Israel. And he would walk different. His leg would be out of joint. He would talk different. He would be a different person. But I think the transformation really didn't happen there on next to the brook, but it happened here in this process of the stress of him wanting to leave. He said, hey, let me go. Let me take my wives and let me take my children and let me take what I have gained here and let me go back. But Laban was wise, even though he was a deceiver. He said, hey, ever since you've been here, my cows are having more calves, my goats are having more kids, my sheep are having more lambs. I tell you, it's growing. Everything that you do, you just walk into a field and it grows better. Laban had observed this. And so there was a blessing flowing through Jacob's life. And I kind of think a realization came to him at this point. He said, hey, everything I do, God blesses. And so Laban said, hey, if you'll stay, you just tell me what you want to make. What if you could just do that to your boss? You know, your boss, you say, hey, I'm fixing to go. He says, oh, no, I want you to stay. Just tell me what you want to stay, and I'll give it to you. Don't get any ideas. We have a lifetime contract anyway, so don't get any ideas. But what if you could do that? But Jacob decided that he was going to walk by faith. And this was something new for him, because in the past he had always gained by his own intellectual ability to move himself forward. He was stepping on people from here, from back then to now. He was climbing the ladder of success no matter who it hurt. But on this day he said, Laban, he said, I don't even want anything from you. You don't have to give me anything. You don't have to promise me anything. All I want are the oddities of the herd. Because what it was saying was that the ones that he was asking for, the spotted and the ring-streaked and the brown of the goat or the sheep and the spotted of the goats, and all this, that these were the unusual ones. These were not the normal ones. So there was fewer of those. And so Laban, of course, he's Mr. Wisdom here, and he's like, oh, that's not a bad deal. Look, he looks out in the field and he sees mostly one color, and he sees the goats, and they're very few of them are speckled. He sees the sheep and they're all white. There's not very many brown ones. It's an odd thing. And so he says, oh, that's a pretty good deal. Okay, I'll agree to that. And so Jacob goes through the flocks and through the herds, and he gathers his portion, which no doubt was a small portion compared to all the others. And he took them a three days journey away so that Laban would be sure that there was no intermingling, there was no interbreeding, so that this would multiply, so that they would have to be blessed on their own. And so he brought them over there. And then after that, those of the regular part of the herd that would be born and be in that same category, those would belong to Jacob as well. And so as it was, there was an unstoppable blessing. Jacob started living by faith. He decided that he was going to put his future into the hands of God. He decided. I love Brother A.J. Brother A.J. is one of my favorite people in the world. And he doesn't even know it, but he has great insight many times. We're talking today, and he's talking about, he says, so many times we let our past shape who we are, when really we ought to allow our future to shape who we are. He doesn't even know how powerful that is. I appreciate him. He's too humble to even look at me right now. I love you, AJ. But how true is that? That we, if we would ever get the understanding of walking by faith, because so many times we live for God like this. We hold on to everything that we can possess, and we hold on to our talents, our treasure, ability, our time, and we guard it selfishly. When God is wanting us to just open our hands and say, it's not of my own ability, it's not of my own time, and it's not of my own treasure, and it's not of my own intellect, and it's not of my own bank account and my own ability to do these things. But if I could ever understand that if I would give myself and my future into the hands of God, then He will bless it and He will multiply it. In multiplying, He will multiply you. In blessing, He will bless you. And there is joy, and there is peace, and there is understanding in releasing your life to the blessing. Amen. I told somebody the other day, I said, it doesn't matter how much money you make. If you do not follow the principles of Scripture with tithe and offering, amen. It doesn't matter how much money you make. You will still be poor. Because God cannot bless what is cursed. And this is not even a message on tithing tonight, but God cannot bless what is cursed. If you're frustrated, if you're wondering why your finances are always struggling and you're not paying tithes, excuse me, that's not the way I should say it. If you're not bringing your tithe back to the storehouse, we don't pay tithes. It's not a bill because it's not yours. And so if you don't bring it back, you cannot expect the blessing. But if we will ever release ourselves, if we will ever open our hands, if we will ever just trust God, because really this relationship is about trust. God is wanting you to experience His blessing that goes beyond just financial things. It goes beyond those things. There is a peace and contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Oh, there is no need for houses and cars and lands and finances and all those things that when God blesses, when God moves, it goes beyond just the temporal things of life. Oh, hallelujah. But we've got to give ourselves. We have got to open ourselves. We have got to open our hands and stop holding the blessing back. So Jacob started living by faith, and the Bible tells us that it wasn't long until almost every cow that was born fit Jacob's category. And every sheep that was born fit Jacob's category. In fact, the Bible said that Laban's sheep were weak and frail. Everything that was born to Laban, it was obvious which one was blessed. That Jacob's cattle, his sheep, his goats, were stronger, more stable, more sturdy. They were better stock. And they would reproduce faster. And they would always reproduce those that fit Jacob's category. He said, Laban, I don't want you to pay me. And this is what he said. This is really the premise of what he said. He said, I'm not going to work for you. I'm going to work for God. Oh, now I'll feed your sheep. I'll feed your cows. I'll take care of your goats, but it won't be you that pays me. We're going to let God pay me. And Brother Pugh said long ago, he said, I decided, he said he was working for a man that was harsh, that was angry, that was hard to deal with. And he said, I decided long ago that every day I would go in to work for him, that I wasn't working for him, that I was working for God. If we could ever understand that there is a spiritual blessing that cannot be stopped. And when we put ourselves into that process, if I can say it this way, when we buy into that process, when we follow the principles of God, He cannot lie. He cannot fall short. So when you dedicate your time and your effort and your commitment and your faithfulness and your money and your talent and your abilities, when you dedicate them to God, whatever you can do, do it with all of your heart. That there will be blessings that will come that you did not know where they were coming from. You will reap where you did not sow. Doors will open that you did not even touch the knob of. Doors will begin to open that you did not knock on. And windows will begin to fly open that you did not even put your hands on. I'm telling you right now that there is a blessing when you move into the realm of putting your life into the hands of God. When you say, hey, it doesn't matter what you do, devil. I'm going to put myself in the hands of God. I'm going to put my future into the hands of God. Because you cannot stop the blessing of God when it begins to flow. The enemy cannot stop the blessing of God when it begins to flow. Amen. Let me give you three keys to the blessing before we go tonight. Where the blessing begins is faith. Faith is really what we were talking about this morning. Fortune favors the bold. Those that will step out. Those that will go beyond what you can see, what you can taste, and what you can feel. Where the blessing begins. Genesis 12 and 1 says, Now the Lord has said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land which I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall the families of the earth be blessed. And then verse 4 is really the crux. So Abraham departed. Now can you imagine? Abram heard a voice from heaven that he did not know. He had an experience with a God that he did not understand. But yet there was something in him that compelled him to have faith enough to hear and to move. So Abram departed, and the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. The Bible says it this way in Hebrews 11, By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Faith is where the blessing begins. The next part of it is a word that we do not like very often or very, very well. And we try not to use it very often. It's called sacrifice. Sacrifice is where the blessing is perfected. Hear the voice of God. I feel a confirmation in the spirit right now. I know we're not jumping and hollering and running, but there's something in the spirit going on right now. Faith is where the blessing begins, and sacrifice is where the blessing is perfected. Genesis 15:7, and he said unto him, I am the Lord that had brought thee out of Ur of Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. When the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a A deep sleep fell on Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them over 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. Sacrifice is where the blessing is perfected. Amen. Third principle, obedience is where the blessing abides. Obedience is where the blessing abides. And it came to pass, verse 1 of chapter 22, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. It was like he hit him three times. Take thy son, thy only son, that thou love, and get thee into a land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And of course, we know he woke up early in the morning. He took the beast of burden, put the firewood and the fire, and he went with the son and his servants. And the Lord showed him the mountain that he was going to go to, and he stopped and he said, servants, I want you to stay here. Me and the boy go to worship. I think it's powerful that he recognized that the ultimate sacrifice that he was going to make, he classified it as worship. So many times we clap our little hands and we dance and we run the aisles, and I think that's good. We should do that. We sing our little songs and we go through the motions of worship and we think, oh, I did it. I offered a sacrifice. But can you imagine Abraham took his son, his only son that he loves. He took the knife and the fire and the wood with full intention of piercing him through and setting him afire on an altar of sacrifice. And he called it worship. Oh, if we could go to a deeper place of worship. If we could ever learn to worship with a knife. If we could ever learn to worship with a true sacrifice. Oh, Jesus. But we see as he went to the top, and the boy said, hey, I see the fire, I see the wood, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham spoke into the millennials. He spoke into thousands of years ahead of time, and he said, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. As many times the Bible prophetically speaks of two things at the same time. He was prophetically talking about a ram that would be caught in a thicket in just a little while as they got to the top of the mountain. But he's also reaching down through thousands of years and was prophesying not just about a ram, but about a spotless lamb. That God would prepare, would provide himself a sacrifice. Thank God. But there he raised the knife, and the angel spoke to him in verse 15 and said, stop, stop, now I know. Amen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven a second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, it's big enough when we think how much we love our children. It is big enough to imagine that Abraham offered Isaac, his son, on the altar. In fact, in Hebrews, it basically said that he offered him as a sacrifice, which we know that God didn't make him go through it, but God still counted it as if he had plunged the knife, as if he had lit the fire. God counted it as that because of his faith. And that would have been amazing enough. But when Abraham offered Isaac, he was not just offering his son, but he was also offering his future. Because God had already said, and things that God says happen, right? He said, I don't choose Ishmael, I choose Isaac, and he is the one that the blessing is going to flow through. And so Hebrews tells us that Abraham offered his son, reckoning that God was able to raise him up. But when Abraham laid him down on the altar, he was not just laying a child that he loves on the altar. He was also telling God, I will give you every promise. I will give you every design. I'll give you every bit of my future right now. If that's what you want, you can have it. And God said, now, I know. God is in this place tonight with this simple message, which seems to be the only kind I can come up with. The blessing. There is some of you that are on the edge of the greatest understanding. You may have been in this thing all your life, but God has been knocking on the door of your faith to take you into a new room, a new place, a new understanding. And on this side of the door, everything is logical. Everything's in its place. And you've decided, hey, I can do this, and I've done that, and I've figured out how to function in this realm. But God is wanting to take you into a new room, a new place, and it is a place that can only be opened by faith, sacrifice, and obedience. And in that place, he is wanting you to step beyond. That's what this whole day is about, is stepping beyond your comfort zone and saying, God, I may have to work for a living. I may have a business. I may have this. I have that. But I'm not going to worry anymore because it's not my clients. Hear me. It's not my clients that are paying me. It's not my employer that is writing my check. It is not my boss that is controlling who I see and what blessings I receive. But tonight I am going to go over their heads. Amen. I'm going to go over their heads. And I am going to reach beyond the client, beyond the employer, beyond the banker, beyond the economy, beyond my situation, beyond the uncertainty of my own life, and I'm going to put my blessing in your hands, Lord. I'm going to say, Laban, you don't have to give me anything because I'm not working for you. I'm working for God. You don't have to bless me. You don't have to give me favor. You don't have to do anything. Because now I have gone over your head. And so hear me when I say tonight, stop worrying. Stop fretting. Stop holding on so tight. And release your life to the one that is well able to keep that which we commit to him. Oh. Brother Rodney, Sister Kimberly, it is crazy to give up your business and to go to Africa
That is absolutely insane. And with every child you have, it gets more insane. It's crazy. But you're working. You gave your future into somebody else's hands. And you gave it into the hands that cannot falter. He never stumbles. He never gets tired. He never sleeps. He never falters. He never fails. He never lies. He never comes up short. He's never weak. He never has to strain. He never sweats. He is always there. So stop worrying about it and put it in the hands of the one that created everything, that owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Somebody needs to give your life into the hands and stop holding on. Stop being so fretful and worried all the time. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God is in this place right now. Oh, hallelujah. Let me read one more scripture and let's come and pray. 2 Corinthians 1:20. It says, for all the promises of God in him are yea. And in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. For the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. It's the blessing. It's the blessing. That's it. Let's come and give it to him. I surrender. There's some blessings coming that you're not even going to know how they got there. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yeah, there's some doors opening that you didn't even know were there. There's some walls that are falling that you didn't even know could fall. Don't worry. Don't worry. Rest easy tonight. Oh, this is the rest by which I cause the weary to rest. With stammering lips and another tongue shall I speak to my people. Oh, rest in him. Yes. Oh, that's it. I trust you. Yes, Jesus. I trust you. Oh, Jesus.